All right. I'm going to release the young, fiery ones to go downstairs. Lord, we just bless these young ones. We bless the teachers. Lord, fill them with your spirit. Fill them with revelation and wisdom beyond their years. Thank you, Lord. All right. I know. Can you do something with me? Can you stand up for just a second? I just want to honor the Lord and pray, and then I'll have you sit back down. But I just, there's something in standing that I feel like is reverent. And so, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this place that we live in. Lord, this amazing state that you have created and known since the beginning. So, Lord, thank you for putting us here. Lord, we thank you that today has never happened inside of time. And Lord, thank you that you see the beginning from the end, and you have a plan for today. So open our hearts to receive and understand and know your plan. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and Lord, the boldness to speak forth what you have designed for us to speak forth today. We give you the praise and the honor for the anointing that's going to fall upon this message in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I do want to not only acknowledge but honor our friends, Apostle Robert and Apostle Eleanor here. So thank you. They are such amazing blessing to Sage and I and to this body, to this house. We love them. We love you guys dearly. We're so thankful for you guys. I have so many thoughts. And every time Ben comes up here and starts sharing something, I'm like, darn it, he just pushed me in a different direction. Only because Holy Spirit begins to just blow on something that he's sharing, and I'm like, oh, I got to lean into that a little bit. So I want to, before I really start into this, I want to share a few things. Annie referenced, and most of you know, when David McDonald was here, he was speaking out of Nehemiah, and when he hit Nehemiah 6:15 that says it was 52 days that it took Nehemiah to rebuild the walls, the Lord instantly spoke to me about a period of time of 52 days within the state of Alaska that is a crucial time of decision-making and some planning and moving forward. And 52 days happens to hit March 18th, so we're 31 days from that right now. But I actually saw, I'm not going to preach out of Nehemiah, but I do want to share some things that I saw. Do you believe that Alaska has a destiny? Like, that God's intention for Alaska is good, and it includes all of us. And there are walls that are built, and there are false walls that are built. And there are walls of separation and segregation and hurt and trauma. And there's so many walls all over Alaska. Some of them need to come down and some of them need to be rebuilt. And I believe that we are in a strategic moment to begin to recognize places where God is saying, I want you to go here and I want these walls to come down and I want these walls to be rebuilt. I see a reestablishing. I see that there are people hiding behind some of the walls that were not meant to be hidden behind. Again, some of those walls are meant to be broke down. Some of them are meant to be reinforced. But first, there's a rescuing that takes place of those who are, and I want to be clear what I'm speaking of. When I say hiding behind, it is because they have a wrong view of who God is. Not because they have something to be ashamed of, afraid of, broken. None of that stuff. I'm not even going there. I believe that the nature of our Father is being revealed through the revelation of who the sons and the daughters of God are. And through that revelation, the Abba revelation is suddenly revealed. And those things that cause us shame, guilt, condemnation, trauma, they begin to fall off and we move into. I saw us stepping into this place of being before the Father. This is interesting to me because I actually had I would call it an open vision when I was sitting down here during worship. I saw us stepping into the light of who the Father is, and suddenly I could not see. So I'm just going to speak to myself. I could not see myself any longer. What I became was enveloped in the light of who He is, and suddenly I no longer was there. But then I saw myself reemerge from the light, and that light was not only on the outside but the inside, and that which was on the inside began to come out of me as the revelation of the love and mercy of a good Father. And sorry, I'm not trying to be weird or... Sometimes we're a little bit afraid of spiritual things that are different, and we don't know how to embrace those things, or like, and I get that sometimes we just need to kind of take it in, and so I'm not knocking anyone's response. I'm just saying, like, it is time for us to stop being afraid of the spiritual realm of God and embrace it and move into it and say, I want all that He has. And if that means I suddenly become enveloped with light so much so that I no longer exist, but only Him through me, do you understand? Like, that's what I'm longing for, this place where it's not about me. This is where what Ben was saying really started hitting. We often come before the Father because of something we need, want. We're hungry. We want Him to do something, and we lose the element of worshiping Him for the nature of who He is. I'll give you a good example. Luke chapter 15. No, let's not go there yet. Hang on. Let's go to Luke 14 first. Let's go to... I should probably look what I want to read. I'm thinking verse 14-ish. It'd help if I was in Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 15. That's where we'll start. Can you do me a favor, though, Nathaniel? Can you put it in the Passion? I don't need these to read that. Okay. When they heard this, one of the dinner guests said to Jesus, "Someday God will have a kingdom feast, and how happy and privileged will be the ones who get to share in that joy." Can you go back just 1 second? What we're doing in here and life is supposed to be a place of joy. I'm not going to preach on joy, but I just feel like there is a joy that is lacking in who we are, because we've lost the sense of who He is. in some man. I'm not saying you don't know him. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm saying we've lost the understanding of the nature of the Father, which causes us to lose some joy. It's not that we're not happy, not that we don't care, not that we're not blessed, but there's something of a measure of strength that's missing in us because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, keep going. Jesus replied with this parable. There was a man who invited many to join him in a great feast. When the day for the feast arrived, the host instructed his servant to notify all the invited guests and tell them, "Come, for everything is now ready." Not someday, not one day, not hopefully when, now is ready. Invite all the guests, for now is the time. For everything is now ready for you. But one by one, they all made excuses. One said, "I can't come. I just bought some property and I'm obliged to go and look it over," or obligated. Another said, "Please accept my regrets, for I just purchased 5 teams of oxen and need to make sure they can pull the plow." Another one said, "I can't come because I just got married." You notice he didn't even ask. He's like, "I got married, I can't come." Anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. The servant reported back to the host and told him of all their excuses. So the master became angry and said to his servant, go at once throughout the city and invite anyone you find, the poor, the blind, the disabled, the hurting, and the lonely, and invite them to my banquet." When the servant returned to his master, he said, "Sir, I've done what you've asked, but there's still room for more." So the master told him, "All right, go out again, and this time bring them all back with you. Persuade the beggars on the street, the outcasts, even the homeless. Urgently insist that they come in and enjoy the feast, so my house will be full." One more verse. "I say to you all, the one who receives an invitation to feast with me and makes excuses will never enjoy my banquet." I want to unpack just a little bit of this, and then I'm going to push into Luke 15. Corey, I didn't forget about you. I will remember here in just a minute. So we start with this statement. It was never God's idea to create a religion. His idea was always family. Always. Man was the one who desired religion. God acquiesced, allowed man through his desire for religion to begin this religious thing that Jesus came along and blew up. There's always been something in the heart of man that desired to live up to a righteousness that he could never actually live up to prove his ability to receive the love of the one who always loved him all along. We look for opportunities to put notches on our belt of whether it's how many people we got saved, which is ridiculous in my opinion. But we look for opportunities to plow fields when God is inviting us to a feast. And we struggle to enter into a feast because we feel more value based on what we're doing rather than based on what we're being. Those who made excuse for why they couldn't come to the banquet, they seem to have good excuses why. Like, "I just bought a field," or "I just bought oxen," or "I just got married." But the invitation was, forget about the field. Leave the ox alone and bring your wife to the party. Right? Like, that's how I see it. But instead, it was like, I need to prove by working myself ragged that I'm worthy of being invited to this feast that we were invited to before we ever did anything. Let's go to Luke chapter 15 real quick. This one, we will start in verse 11. Then Jesus said, once there was a farmer with two sons. The younger son came to his father and said, Father, don't you think it's time to give me the share of your estate that belongs to me? So the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. Shortly afterward, the younger son packed up all his belongings and traveled off to see the world. He journeyed to a far-off land where he soon wasted all he was given in a binge of extravagant and reckless living. With everything spent and nothing left, he grew hungry, for there was a severe famine in the land. So he begged a farmer in the country to hire him. The farmer hired him and sent him out to feed the pigs. The son was so famished, he was willing to even eat the slop given to the pigs. If you notice in a different translation, it will say, he fain would eat the husks that were given to the pig. In other words, he was so hungry. It wasn't just slop like we think. I mean, it was stuff that had no value to it at all. He was willing to eat whatever because no one would feed him a thing. Humiliated, the son finally realized what he was doing, and he thought, there are many workers at my father's house who have all the food they want with plenty to spare. They lack nothing. Why am I here dying of hunger, feeding these pigs and eating their slop? I want to go back home to my father's house. And I'll say to him, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I'll never be worthy to be called your son. Please, Father, just treat me like one of your employees. My opinion, better translated as slave. There was a mentality, and you'll see it in just a minute, but employees. So the young son set off for home. From a long distance away, his father saw him coming, dressed as a beggar, and great compassion swelled up in the heart of his heart for his son, who was returning home. So the father raced out to meet him. He swept him up in his arms, hugged him dearly, and kissed him over and over with tender love. Then the son said, Father, I was wrong. I've sinned against you. I could never deserve to be called your son. Just let me be. The father interrupted and said, Son, you're home now. Turning to his servants, the father said, Quick, bring me the best robe, my very own robe, and I will place it on his shoulders. Bring the ring, the seal of sonship, and I will put it on his finger, and bring out the best shoes you can find for my son. Let's prepare a great feast and celebrate. For this beloved son of mine was once dead. Now he's alive again. Once he was lost, but now he is found. And everyone celebrated with overflowing joy. Now the older son was out working in the field, another field, when his brother returned, and as he approached the house, he heard the music of celebration and dancing. So he called over one of the servants and asked, What's going on? The servant replied, It's your younger brother. He's returned home, and your father is throwing a party to celebrate his homecoming. The older son became angry and refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him, Come and enjoy the feast with us. The son said, Father, listen. Ooh. How many years have I been working like a slave for you? You see the slave mentality. How many years have I been working like a slave for you? performing every duty you've asked as a faithful son. What a broken mindset. Can I tell you this? I'm going to keep reading. But this is most of our mindset. We work believing somehow in this slave mentality because the more we do, the more He loves us. But yet we're convinced we're sons and daughters. You see, I did all these things as a faithful son because that's what faithful children of God do. They work and they work and they work and they push and they work and they do and they do and they keep doing and they keep going and they keep running and they keep getting people saved and they keep records and they keep this and they do that and they all the things we're supposed to do. I've never once disobeyed you. Liar! Anyway, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. Never once have you even given me a goat. The original translation actually says, never once have you given me a kid, a young goat, not a child. A kid. Young goat, yes, clear. Which I find interesting. It's weird to me that the father asked for the fatted calf to celebrate the younger son's return, and this older brother, I'm not even asking for what he has. I just give me lesser. I don't care. I just want to be celebrated because of my faithfulness. I've been a good son that I could feast on and celebrate with my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living, and here you're throwing a great feast to celebrate for him. The father said, my son, you are always with me, by my side. Everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed because this brother of yours was once dead and gone, but now he is alive and back with us again. He was lost, but now he is found. A whole lot there. Can I start this way? I want to tell you this. Neither the son that ran off nor the son that stayed close understood the nature of the father. I'll prove it to you. Going back, I'll just quote it so we don't have to, because I can't tell you the exact verse. The son who spent everything being crazy finds himself in a pig pen, right? And some translations say, he came to himself, or he came to his senses. The translation would be this way, that it's like he got a glimpse of his intention as a son. He had his eyes open to his original intention as a son, and it created a desire to be back in the father's house. But if you read what his desire was, it was driven by hunger, not by an understanding of who the father is or how the father was going to respond or what was going to happen. Like, he never expected a robe, he never expected a ring, he never expected shoes, he never expected kisses on his dirty, stinky, sloppy self. Because he didn't understand the extravagant love of the father. He rehearsed a speech to explain why he did what he did, how sorry he was. I don't even need to be included in the count of sons, daughters. I can just be a slave, or as the translation we read, an employee, however you want to see it, as long as I get something in my belly and then some. You see, our relationship with God has often become very transactional in nature. I'll do this if you do that. I get this if I do that. I'll give you an example. I am one who, and I'm not the only one, I believe wholeheartedly in sowing a seed and seeing a return on the seed sown. I hope all of us believe in that. And I've seen the increase of doing that. But that is not based on my faithfulness to sow the seed, because I never had a seed until he gave me the seed. This is all based on his faithfulness. Do you see the difference? Sowing and reaping, if we're talking finances, if we're talking seed, if we're whatever you want to call it, is not based upon the root of it, is never based on me first. It's always based on him. 2 Corinthians 9 says he gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater, right? Ecclesiastes 11 says cast your bread out on the water and it'll come. Anyway, the idea is he first gives to us, we give back to him, and then he returns a greater portion to us. Does that make sense? That is the nature of the Father we serve. If we don't understand his nature, we'll feel like if I can just give my way out of this, he'll be forced to do something that creates an avenue for me to be able to get out of the problem I'm in, the debt I'm in, the trouble I'm in, the difficulty I'm in, the sickness I'm in, the whatever. Again, this is not just about finances. If I give him more love, if I give him more time, if I give him more prayer, if I give him more of my devotion, if I give him more, if I give my family more, it's a transactional relationship because we don't understand the nature of the one we serve. I need you to stand up with me real quick. I'm not done. I just want to do something. I feel like something needs to break just a little bit here. Shut your eyes for just a second. In the name of Jesus, I just command your ears to be open to hear the word of the Lord today. I declare over you that the nature of the Father is being revealed inside of you, and it's going to explode with revelation. I believe that the beloved identity of who you are is being established, but understanding who he is needs to also be established inside of that place as well. So I call you into understanding, I call you into revelation, and I say to your ears, be open now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So this younger son, much like us, he's making his way back to the Father with this rehearsed apology, repentance, which I wholeheartedly believe in repentance. So I've heard people say things like, you got to be careful because you start telling people God is so good that they feel like they don't need to repent no more. Whatever. This young boy, this young man is moving into this place of re-encountering the Father, not understanding the nature of the Father, but coming in a place of still humility, but feeling like I don't deserve what you're doing. As the Father embraces him and begins to lavish love on him, he's struggling to feel like, whoa, what's going on? Why are you putting this robe on me? Why this ring of authority are you putting? You know, it's the struggle of like, I don't feel like I deserve. You're right, you don't. This isn't about you, this is about him. The embracing of authority, the embracing of sonship, the embracing of royalty is not about you or what you've done. It's about the nature of the one you serve. So as we receive it, it's not because we're good enough to receive it or we've done enough to receive it. It's because He loves us and desires to put these things on us. Okay.
But you said repentance, and it just hit me. And I was sitting there going, we think repentance is about Him. It's really a gift for us. Because what we do is when we come into repentance, we break the agreement that we've made with the thing that we've aligned ourselves with. So like if I've lied, I break the agreement with that lie. That's what repentance does. And it brings me out of agreement in the authority of that thing that I've actually agreed with. So it's a gift for us. It's not like what he was saying. Like it doesn't, it's not a works that we do to get back into right relationship with the Lord.
Thank you. So good. I want to read something to you that I wrote. I think it's important to know this. Israel missed both the Messiah as well as the manifestation of the kingdom of God because they wanted religion. They wanted a religion where access was based on a righteousness they, in error, believed they had earned and were therefore entitled to, versus the righteousness Jesus gave us solely based on His own faithfulness. I think it's crucial that we recognize that everything that we do and everything that we are establishing is not based on our faithfulness, our ability, but it's based on His faithfulness, His ability that we operate inside of. Does that? Okay. These two brothers in Luke 15, one is getting a party based on the faithfulness of the Father. One is saying, I should be thrown a party based on my faithfulness as a son. Remember when he said, I've done all these things. I've worked like a slave, and I have done everything you asked as a faithful son, but yet you've not done anything for me. Again, transactional. Done all these things as your child, as your son. I've heard people, and I understand why this goes this way, but sometimes people in their pain will pray things like, why would you do this to me, God? I've done all of this, all these things. I've lived for you. I've prayed for these people. I've given you my life. I've done all these things, and yet this still happened, or that still happened, or these people got hurt, or this person passed away, or whatever. And we struggle because we don't know how to move out of a transactional relationship with the one who wants real relationship. You see, this is, I'm sharing this because I believe that as we go out and move into what God is wanting to do in the state of Alaska, if we go out as an entitled people, thinking that we have all the answers and we have all this figured out, and if you just would think like me, instead of being so lit by the Father that what we're displaying is the nature of the one who sent us. Do you see the difference? Like, this is my personal view, but I think that a whole lot of prejudice that we see throughout, not just Alaska, but throughout the world, could easily be mowed down if we'd stop seeing each other and we began to see the one who sent us. Inside of each of us, I know that we were created and our cultures and all, I have nothing but good to say about that, but I'm just saying, like, somehow there's so much fear in prejudice that we display anything but a loving Father in our prejudice. Anyway, just a thought. one enters in with humility to a party, recognizing I never could have earned it. The other misses out on a party because he believes he gets to it by way of earning it. It becomes about the faithfulness of the believer rather than the faithfulness of the Father. You don't need to know all these things. Huh. We all have different journeys in our lives, different journeys that we've taken from the time, whether we ran off into the darkness chasing after that, or whether we stayed and served the Lord until our, you know, bones were tired and our, because we were trying. I wrote it this way, though. I should probably read the way I wrote it. So your journey, whether you ran off into the darkness or stayed and worked your tail off, is really about you being set free from the notions that you have about the Father that are inconsistent with who Jesus reveals him to be. Religion sees it as virtuous to plow the field and frivolous to drink the wine. We struggle when we're working like the son, the older son, was working in the field when he hears music, right? He hears celebration. He hears a party going on, and he struggles to be able to put down his tools and enter into a place of worship and, well, not even worship, but just enter into a place of partying with the fact that his brother is alive, because he struggled to see the value in just having joy versus I'm working. I gotta finish this field. This is what I do. This is who I am. And so again, I feel like this is something we really need broken in us, is this feeling like we've got to get this done to make us feel like we're doing what we're supposed to, what we were created to do, what we're supposed to do, to work. And inside it, we end up despising when a celebration happens from someone who, you know, you haven't been saved 5 minutes and God is celebrating you. I've been saved for 48 years and nobody cares. It's the parable of the vineyard, right? We know the parable of the vineyard. Guy hires workers beginning of the day. Come work my vineyard. I'll pay you this much. They're like, sure, that sounds great. Good wage, sure. A little bit later, he hires more. A little bit later, until you get to 1 hour left in the day, and he hires them, they bring in. At the end of the day, he's going to divvy out the pay. He pays the guy that worked an hour the same as the guy that worked 12 hours. The guy that worked 12 hours is like, what? That's not fair. Why? You got exactly what you agreed upon. Your issue is not that you got paid what you agreed upon. Your issue is you don't know how to receive it when goodness and love is extravagantly poured out on one who's only been here for an hour. Our struggle is we don't know how to receive a God who loves somebody who just began to serve them, right? The same way he loves me, even though I haven't technically been serving my whole life, I'm going to pretend like I have. Like, just for this story, I've been serving you my whole life. I got saved out the womb, speaking in tongues the whole nine yards as I came out. You were crying, I was speaking in tongues. Okay, maybe not. But you understand, I'm like, that's how we think about our walk versus maybe someone who is living on the street and they're drunk all the time, and they're like, I can be honest. I don't know if you can, but I can be honest about this. I used to do a lot of street ministry, and I struggled with everybody out there says they're saved. Oh, yeah, I know Jesus, yeah, you know, and they're drunk, and it's like, not that being drunk doesn't make you saved, it's just like, what do I say to you then? Because I thought my mission was to somehow get them saved. Well, they're already saved. Job done. Next. Job done. Next. Right? How about some soup? Need some socks? It was good. It was amazing. We prophesied over loads of people. We saw lots of things happen. But I felt like I needed to move on to the next field, because I didn't know how to celebrate and help somebody move into a place of freedom, because what I saw as freedom was you need to stop everything you're doing. You need to move off the street. I need to get you a job. You need to get a place to live. You need to have all these things in place. Then I feel like I finally plowed the field. Watch this. What if I understood the nature of being the son who God loves fully, understood the nature of the father that embraces me, so much so that I'm robed with the robe he put on me, that I've got the authority, the ring that he put on me, the ability to call somebody into the kingdom of God, not to lead them in a prayer hoping that they can get their lives fixed by somehow getting into this or doing. I'm like, I fully embrace and fully understand that there are, it's a journey, but there's a power encounter that needs to take place in order to snap people into, like, you know what I mean? Like, we talk about snatching people from the fires of hell, but I don't think we fully understand what that looks like. Because we have not yet embraced the fullness of being who we were created to be and serving the one who created us to be that way. Not based on our transaction, but based on his nature that was revealed through Jesus, not the nature that religion reveals through a set of rules and regulations that gets you somehow to a place that you never get to anyway. What if, okay, here's where I'm going to plug what you're doing, Corey. So I shared with y'all a few weeks ago that Corey had come to me about his desire to do whatever the Lord called him to do with those who are living out on the street, that are struggling. I mean, you'd have to be blind to not see that there is a major homelessness problem in anywhere you go. Not just Alaska, but we live here. And there are some major issues, and no one has a real solution. There are some Band-Aids and some things, and I've got no issue, everything that we're doing is needed and all of that, and I'm not throwing rocks at that. But I'll tell you, I didn't talk to you about this, but I'll tell you one of the things that I feel that we need to do as a body. We're really good at throwing stones at everything the assembly's doing. Don't like this, don't like that, and I don't like it either. But when was the last time we went and sat down with them and said, what can we do as the body of Christ to help with this issue, or that problem, or this problem, instead of you're doing a really crummy job? How's that kingdom? How is it kingdom to throw stones at whoever's doing whatever, whether we agree with them politically, whether we agree with their life, whether we agree? It isn't about that. Either we are kingdom people that believe that the kingdom of God is being established here and now, and everyone right? This is, goes back to Luke 14 we read. Everyone, highways, byways, are being invited into a feast because God desires a family. He doesn't desire a religion. So inside of that, what if we determined, you know what, we're going to go see what we can do to help with the problems of, and it's not just homelessness. Listen, it is mental health. It is drug addiction. It is alcoholism. It is domestic violence. You name it. It's pushing people out on the street because you don't know where else to go or what else to do. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not being established through his people the way he designed it to be established through his people in Alaska. Or much other places too. But my point is, I really believe, again, in this 52 days, obviously March 18th is not like the cutoff, like, oh, ideas are done. It's just, I feel that we are setting a course for where God wants to take us after that. So Corey has this desire to stand up and go, this is what I feel like God is calling me or us to do, and we're going to do our part in this, right? Like, he doesn't have a solution for everything. He probably does. He just hasn't told me yet. But I just want you to know his desire is to do his part and include anyone else who wants to go and do their part, whether that's as simple as going and buying tents and just sitting with people and praying for them and talking with them. I don't know. I don't want to come up with everything the Lord is telling him, but here's my point in saying this. He can't do this alone. And he wants to not do it alone. He wants to have a team of people with ideas, thoughts, the ability to go out. So, can you stand up, Corey? I just want everybody to know who Corey is. This is Corey. Yep. So, I need you to do this. If this is something that is in your heart to do, or something that you're like, I kind of like to know a little bit more about it, I want you to see him after church and just say, hey, count me in, or hey, what can I do, or write my name down, here's my number, whatever. But I really feel like this is something the Lord is wanting to kind of change the face of what we've done in the past and push it into a whole different direction, and you're the man to lead it. So good deal. We also have some things that we are in the works of praying into right now, some different places in Alaska that we know God is calling us to do, to go. And in it, I actually see this shift of what we have ever done before as we go into villages or go into places. It isn't about like in the past we've done different kinds of Bible studies or kids things, or we've gone in and prayed for people, and all those things will probably continue to happen. But I see going in a place of authority, not like I'm the authority in this land, but kingdom authority to call people out of darkness into light. Kingdom authority that goes and finds the one that's maybe hurting and broken and hiding behind a wall or whatever, and being the one who pulls them into kingdom understanding of who the Father is. But we're also going out. I believe there's an impartation from any place that the Lord calls us to go that we bring back to here. I'm not trying to go out and be the, Great White Hope or whatever. I just see this partnering opportunity. I actually saw walls. There's already structures and walls built all over Alaska. I shared that with you. a lot of them are really good. I see a strengthening of the walls. Us coming alongside serving, not us coming alongside with all of the answers. But I see the shift in the people that go as people who have an understanding of who they are as sons and daughters. I feel like I'm not talking to this side of the room. People who know who they are as sons and daughters of the Most High, and people who understand the nature of the one who sends them, which is a Father who longs to extravagantly and mercifully embrace and kiss. What we read out of the Passion, it says that as the young son came, the Father embraced him and kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. It's not just like a... It was like a, you know, oh, there's a little slop over here. There's a little, you know, dirt over here. Oh, you stink. I don't care. You know, it's like just this that we don't know what to do with. We don't know how to handle that. We don't know how to allow ourselves to be embraced like that. The first thing we do is notice our dirtiness. And so in that, we also notice everyone else's dirty. And we notice their shortcomings. We speak differently than that. We'll say, God receives you just like you are. And I believe that. I believe that He loves us too much to leave us there, right? He brings us into a place of bringing us out of all the trash, but He doesn't wait for us to get all cleaned up before He embraces us. That's our thing. So what I also believe is taking place in us as a body, as a people, is the preparing of the ground of who we are to be able to be sent as vessels that properly display who we are and who He is. We are as children. He is as our loving Father. Right? But we are also... equipped and empowered with Holy Spirit, who is constantly, right, His job is to reveal the Son. John 16. He will not take of what is His, but He will take of what is Mine and render that unto you. There is something, and here's why I say this. Jesus was the perfect display of the love of the Father. Everything that you believe about the Father that you cannot find in the Son Jesus is a wrong way to see the Father. He said He was giving us the empowerment of the Spirit, and He would take from what is Mine, which is an understanding of who the Father is, and He would render that unto you so that we would be able to do the same. This is evident. This is maybe my opinion. It should probably be yours too. When the disciples asked Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And the first thing He said was, Our Father, right? Meaning, I want you to know that my dad, my Abba, is your Abba. It was so far-fetched, so not understood by even at the moment as it was being spoken. I think it was like, but Jesus was bringing a revelation of who the Father was, what you've seen Me display. This is why He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I perfectly have displayed who He is. All the mercy, all the love, all the embrace, all the, you eat with sinners and tax collectors, not, that's all the Father being revealed. So He's sending you and He's sending me into the highways and the byways, beyond barriers, beyond fences, beyond walls, beyond tradition, beyond religion, beyond culture, beyond all of it. He's sending you and He's sending I out to invite those to a feast that don't even know they've been invited. But we have to be able to Learn to celebrate what God is doing in those who were not sure they deserve it. Okay. I feel like there might be one more thing I need to read to you. I don't know. I wrote this down and I put it in bold and I put it in italics and I underlined it. So this is important. The Father does not just want to feed you, but He wants to celebrate you and authorize you with authority. I know I already said some of that, but the authorizing with authority, as I wrote it, it was like it popped to life in me, and I need it to come to life in you. So stand up with me. Can I get someone up here? I don't know who's coming up, but somebody. There we go. All of you in response. Not going to call you forward because I feel like we all need to receive this. So can you just put yourself in a receive mode right now? I need you to be able to see yourself being robed with new robes. No matter how clean or dirty you might feel, no matter even if you've been the one out plowing and you've been the one working, you've been the one doing, and or you've been the one running. See the Lord putting new robes on each of you. Should I say each of us? Because I'll take one too. I see the Lord putting authorization. That's the word I hear. And I hear this over you too, Robert and Eleanor. Right now, I just hear the Lord saying, I am authorizing authority. A new level of authority over you in the name of Jesus. I see Him putting new shoes on your feet. Shoes that run. I hear them being called go-fasters. So I declare over you that it's not based upon your own strength, your own ability, your own drive, but there's something shifting and taking place that going faster doesn't mean working harder. Going faster just means leaning into that which is already there. I see your sails going up and catching the wind of the Spirit. And I see Him driving you in directions that you were, oh, I didn't see that one coming, didn't see this one coming. But I saw the ring of authority being put on your hands. And He says, your authority has increased. Your robes are new. Your shoes, your go-fasters are on. And the wind of the Spirit is at your back. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just receive right now, Lord, what you're doing. We receive by your Spirit a refreshing, a joy. Lord, help us not just be joyful for what we get, but joyful for what you're doing in others. Joyful for the celebration that you're calling, the feast that you're calling others to come into. We desire to link arms with our brothers and sisters all over the state of Alaska. And we desire, Lord, for those who don't even realize yet that they're brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God to be snapped into the reality of who you've called them to be and who you are as a loving Father. So I declare over each one of you a new level of authority, an access to authority that God is granting each of us now, and new robes being placed upon you. I declare over you an enveloping, a pulling into the light of who He is, so that as you display forth the greatness of the one you serve, there is no doubt that He's a good God who wants to embrace and love and kiss those who come to Him. Thank you, Lord, that there will be a place of repentance and turning, a place of leaving that which has bound. There will be a coming out of trauma. There will be a coming out of brokenness. There will be coming out of this lies and these traps. But Lord, your goodness goes forth first. Let us display who you are in a greater way. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness, your kindness toward us. We love you and we give you all the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hold on.
I can't get away from it. So, He kept inviting us to the feast. And in worship, we were singing, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And have you ever tried to tell someone how great something tasted without tasting of it yourself? Somebody can tell you how wonderful it is, and they can describe it in the best way, but until you have tasted of that yourself, you don't know, and you cannot give that away. And I just keep being reminded of John 6, where it talks about those who come will never be hungry again, and those who believe will never be thirsty again. And so there's an invitation to come and to believe. And as you do that, you taste, you drink, and you are satisfied. And so I just want to release that to you in this place, that if you're finding yourself like you can get on a hamster wheel of like dissatisfaction, like, I'm so hungry, I'm so thirsty, I need more. And that is not living in the rest of the Lord. It is not being fully satisfied in Him. But there is a part, we have to do our part. We have to come and we have to believe. And He fully satisfies us. Our taste, you know, your taste buds have zero purpose other than pleasure. There is no purpose to your taste buds except just to bring you pleasure. How cool is that? Like, He did that for us. There's no other value there. He wanted you to be able to taste, physically and spiritually, taste and see that your Lord is good. From generation to generation to generation, He has been faithful. Taste and see. There is a feast waiting. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you, Lord. So Lord, open our taste buds in the Spirit, Lord, to be able to taste and see that you are good. Lord, that we're not describing something we haven't already tasted of ourselves, but what we're giving away is something we have already tasted and seen. So we thank you for your goodness. We love you, Lord.
So at the very beginning of worship and hearing the word invitation come, not only during worship but with one of the gentlemen, I saw what I saw in 2007, and remember what Apostle Zach said, that the Lord speaks to us in various ways, right? And I didn't I wasn't sure I was going to share this because it may stretch some of us a little bit. So in 2007, we couldn't find any berries anywhere around Anchorage, Hatcher's Pass, Arctic Valley, any of our special secret places. And so I begin to ask the Lord, where can I find some blackberries? Because you know, Lord, I need my akutak to go with my muktak and my seal meat and my moose meat. And he said, Valdez. And I said, okay, I've never been to Valdez. So when I told my husband, the Lord said, there are plenty of blackberries in Valdez. And so he said, okay, let's hop in our van and just go. And I said, Lord, how will we know where the berries are? We've never been there. He said, you just keep driving until I say to stop. So we packed up our food and our drinks and made a bed in the back, and we just kept driving until 5 hours later. The Lord said, no, actually we camp first, and then in the morning we start driving again. Until all of a sudden the Lord said, stop. And so, excitedly, I got out of the van with my 5-gallon bucket in faith. We heard from the Lord. And Robert gets his 5-gallon bucket. And within less than 2 minutes, there were millions and zillions of berries. And it was just like, I mean, there were so many berries. And I was just like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, and so we just started picking. And we were picking. And here's the stretching part. That part, first part, was stretching for us, too. But here, we know that the Lord speaks to us from His Word, by His Holy Spirit, through art, through entertainment, through movies, through pictures. He also speaks to us through creation, right? And here we're picking away, and I'm going like I'm the berry picking queen. And he's over there picking, you know, just picking away. And then I see this bird, and it flies right in front of him, like a foot in front of him. And it's just chirping away, just looking at him like, you know. And I'm like, whoa. And he's just looking at the bird, trying to figure it out. And then he just goes back to picking. And I'm like, bird, come over here. Actually, I was just thinking it. I didn't say it. But it came right in front of me, a foot in front of me. And it starts chirping away and just looking at me and just, you know, moving and bobbing his head. And the Lord said, open up your spirit ears. Open up your spirit eyes. And then all of a sudden I go into this vision of this banqueting table. And the Lord invites me to His banqueting table. And at first I had, you know, I looked at myself and I thought, me? Little old me? I don't belong there. How could I possibly be invited to this banqueting table. And the Lord began to speak to me in my Yupik language. And he said, Dailutin, come here. Akumlutin, sit down. Nghlutin, come and eat. And in the spirit, I get up and I walk over, feeling just as unclean and unworthy as I could possibly feel. And I thought, you know, he said, it's time. And as I sat down, I saw cultures, all tribes, tongues, and nations at this banqueting table. And it was filled with food, that feast that was beyond what I could even think or hope or imagine. And then the table stretched all the way across Alaska. And he said, come and eat at my banqueting table. And he began to say, you know, it's not just about your native culture. He said, but I choose you. Will you come and accept my invitation? And I had to get out of my orphan mindset, thinking I know I'm not worthy. I had to get out of my orphan mindset thinking, you know, how could it be me? We can reason ourselves away from God's best. And he said, my children are used to eating crumbs and they're used to eating fast food in the spirit. And he said, I want to change not only the mindset of my people, but I want to feed them the meat of my word once they realize that they are my sons and my daughters. And then the banqueting table extended. And we are in that time right now to where the Lord is inviting us, each and every one of us. And it's not about our, like Zach said, not about our earthly culture, but this is the kingdom culture that is being extended all across Alaska. And the Lord is inviting us to his banqueting table today. And so I just wanted to underscore this message and say, we know we're not worthy. We know, you know, I can identify with both of the sons. And this is a message I needed today. It's all about the Father sending out his invitation to each of us and to Alaska.
So good.
So what are we going to do with an invitation? Accept it, yes. Open it up, accept it, and step in. So, yes. So good. Well, here in the coming weeks, we will be unfolding some things to you, some trips that are going to be coming up, some opportunities to be used and minister, and but I've received from some of you, which has been awesome, but I also, if the Lord puts on your heart things or ideas or you know, whatever the Lord's putting on you to see established in Alaska, I'd love to hear it as well. So you can, I know not everybody has my phone number, but you can text me, email me, you can talk to one of the leadership, whatever. So we just need to be open and receive the invitation and step into it. So, but we just receive that, we open it, and we step in to your banqueting table. And we know that you're calling us to invite others to it as well. So we say yes. You have our yes. In Jesus' name, amen. I bless you. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you next week.